Most of us think strength and vulnerability are opposites. One is what we want. The other is what we hope to outgrow. We imagine a good life as one in which our strengths become so developed that our vulnerabilities stop mattering. And for a while, that seems to work. You get better at carrying responsibility. You get better at helping. You get better at staying composed. You get better at saying the right thing, doing the useful thing, becoming the dependable one. People begin to trust you for it. That trust feels good. It feels earned. It feels like maturity. And much of the time it is. But there is a quieter question underneath all of this. What if some of our strengths were built in the same place that our vulnerabilities once frightened us? What if competence is real but also compensatory? What if kindness is genuine but also protective? What if service is beautiful but sometimes functions as cover? That does not make the strength false. It just means the strength may be doing two jobs at once. It may be serving life, and it may be keeping something tender out of sight. That second part is easy to miss. It is easy to miss because admirable qualities rarely get questioned. If you are generous, thoughtful, disciplined, and reliable, people tend not to ask what those qualities are protecting. They simply praise them, and often they should. But praise can hide structure. A strength can be both admirable and defensive at the same time. A person can be truly good at something and still be using it to avoid exposure. That possibility has been sitting with me lately. It makes vulnerability feel more precise. We usually talk about vulnerability as if it simply means openness or weakness. But I think vulnerability is more specific than that. Vulnerability is not just weakness. It is perceived weakness. It is the fear that something in me could be seen, interpreted, or used in a way that causes harm. That changes the whole picture. Because if vulnerability is about perceived weakness, then the fear is not only about what is true. It is about how I might be read. It is about how something unguarded in me might land in someone else's mind. It is about interpretation, and interpretation is uncertain. That uncertainty is why people compensate. They become more capable than they needed to be, more careful than they needed to be, more useful than they needed to be, more controlled than they needed to be. Not because those things are bad, because those things are safer. If I am competent, I am harder to dismiss. If I am generous, I am harder to criticize. If I am composed, I am harder to embarrass. If I am always in service, I don't have to reveal very much about what I want. This is how a strength becomes a hiding place. Not by ceasing to be a strength, by quietly becoming a form of protection. And once it becomes protection, it starts shaping identity. The person no longer says, "I learned to do this because I was afraid of being seen as weak." He says, "This is just who I am." And in one sense, that is true. It is who he is. But it may also be who he became in order to avoid certain kinds of exposure. This explains something that otherwise feels strange. Some very strong people are also very hard to reach. They are dependable, but not always available. They are loving, but not always open. They are wise in difficult moments, but uneasy in unguarded ones. They can handle almost anything except being seen where they cannot fully manage the impression they are making. That is a difficult sentence. It is also a useful one, because it points to a kind of exhaustion many people carry without naming. They are tired of being the strong one, tired of being the stable one, tired of being the one who knows what to do, tired of being the one who can regulate everything except the places where regulation is not the point. Some parts of life call for mastery. Other parts call for participation. Some parts of life reward skill. Other parts of life ask for presence. Some parts of life improve when we become more refined. Other parts of life only open when we stop over-curating the self. That is where many people begin to wobble. Not because they lack depth. Not because they lack care. Because the thing being asked of them is different from excellence. It is exposure. It is the willingness to be in a moment without full control over how it will be interpreted. This shows up at work. A person can be brilliant in meetings and still be unable to say, "I don't know." A person can lead teams and still be unable to say, "I need help." A person can have all the answers and still be frightened of being visibly uncertain. The strength is real. The fear is real too. This shows up in friendship. A person can be the one everyone relies on and still never tell the truth about what hurts. A person can show up for every crisis and still remain hidden in ordinary life. A person can listen for hours and never reveal what he longs for. Again, the strength is real, but it may be protecting a vulnerable seam. And yes, this shows up in intimacy. I do not think the whole conversation is about sex, but I do think sex is one of the clearest places where this structure becomes visible. Not because sex is uniquely important, because sex is one of the places where curation becomes harder to maintain. It is one thing to be admired for being attentive, capable, thoughtful, and kind. It is another thing to be in a moment where you are visibly affected, visibly wanting, visibly moved, and not fully in command of how you appear. That is why intimacy can become inaccessible for strong people. Not because they do not care, not because they do not desire, because desire asks for a kind of exposure that service does not. And if vulnerability has been defined internally as the risk of being perceived as weak, then of course moments of surrender begin to feel dangerous. But here is the turn that interests me most. How do we know ahead of time that what we fear will be seen as weakness will actually be seen that way? How do I know that openness will be read as deficiency? How do I know that surrender will be read as embarrassment? How do I know that visible feeling will be read as frailty? What if, in some cases, the very thing I fear as weakness is experienced by someone else as willingness? What if the moment I imagine as exposing my inadequacy is actually a moment of trust? What if what I have spent years protecting is not shameful at all? What if it is simply human? That possibility does not erase danger. It does not mean every fear is irrational. It does mean that some of our strongest protections are built around anticipations rather than realities. We are not always defending ourselves from what happened. Sometimes we are defending ourselves from what we imagine might happen. And in doing so, we may also be shutting out forms of closeness, repair, creativity, and aliveness that only become available when control softens. So I do not think the answer is to become less strong. I do not think the answer is to reject discipline or competence or steadiness or service. The answer, if there is one, is integration. Let strength remain strength, but stop requiring it to function as disguise. Let kindness remain kindness, but stop requiring it to carry every fear of being seen. Let service remain service, but stop using it as a reason never to reveal want, need, uncertainty, or desire. That is a different kind of maturity. Not the elimination of weakness, not the perfection of strength, the willingness to let both sit at the same table, the willingness to become less divided, the willingness to stop building a self that is only safe when it is curated. Maybe that is what many people are actually searching for. Not invulnerability, not flawless control, not the final removal of every exposed edge. Something better, wholeness, the kind of wholeness in which your strengths are still yours, but they no longer have to keep you hidden.